Morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth We Radio, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection, see best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Stewart in the studio today with Lee Kimball. And he's playing with his microphone. That sounded fun. Do it again.
You know, it's fascinating that I can get here so early, and yet at the last moment, it feels like
scramble. Your headphones on and let's go. Yeah. You know, we were going to talk about a different topic today, but it's time for an uplifting, wonderful show. And so we're going to talk about principles for good living.
I love it.
Doesn't it sound good? I mean, what is good living? If you really had to think about it, Lee, what do you consider to be happiness?
What do I consider to be happiness? You know, it's fascinating. I was at a business meeting yesterday, and one of the things we did was little boards for 2019 of goals.
Gotcha.
And more, you know, just life. You know, of course, business, but a lot of my goals are maintaining gratitude.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful goal.
Absolutely, because you can't go wrong with gratitude, but also, serving my family, helping others, and I don't mean that to sound
so. What you're talking about, though, is keeping your priorities.
Yes.
Mr. B got us up on Facebook. Thanks, Mr. B.
Hey, good morning, Facebook.
So, keeping your priorities in line.
Yeah, and living towards, you know, trying to be the guy that I believe that I was created to be.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I've always thought that happiness is not a goal. It is a result of how you live.
Yeah.
And when you're living right, and when you're living your authentic self, when you're loving others, when you're in touch with the higher power, you're going to be happy. It's going to come. It's going to just trickle into your life. Just like if I put coffee in the little Keurig cup and I push the button, the coffee's going to trickle down into my cup. It's just the same kind of thing. We get caught up in the daily grind. Why do they call it that? The daily grind. Just that. That kind of tells you, you know, like you're just getting beat up every day.
But that ties to a conversation I had with a nice lady in my office this morning that you often refer to, or am I a human doing or I am a human being?
Right. Too much stuff to do. Or you are only your achievements. You have forgotten who you are. So that's my next question. If you get caught up in your daily grind or in what you got to accomplish today or what you got to get done before you punch the clock and fall into the bed at the end of the day, have you forgotten about passion? I think passion is really, if you don't want to have a boring, mundane existence where you really are in a daily grind, unless you have passion, you're going to find yourself falling into that.
And it's so funny you say that, because on that board that I was just referencing from yesterday, I can see it in my mind's eye on the bottom right corner, where I wrote, live my passions.
Yeah.
And on that, I actually had a picture of a beautiful skiing
photo. Which is coming up soon for you. Well, you know, unless you try to bring out these wonderful principles for good living, you kind of forget what you believe to be important and what you believe to be the background that shapes the picture. You know, when you take a photo, have you ever had a great photo, but the background is like somebody's picking their nose or something like that?
You know? Or now in the days of photobombs.
Yeah,
too.
Photobombs. You know, I mean, just, but that's, it's like, oh, I wish that didn't happen in the background, or, oh, I wish I had, you know, turned the camera so that I had a different background. But the background is kind of what we're talking about today. Principles for good living. They're the background. They're behind what you do. They're behind what motivates you to do what you do. And if you can live by those, you're going to have a great life, a happy life.
You mentioned joy. Joy is so important, because if I get so enmeshed in, you know something? If I get so enmeshed in outcomes,
yeah,
I can lose the experience.
You lose the moment.
I lose the moment.
Well, your outcomes means out of here. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm no longer in the present moment.
I'm not present.
Yeah. Well, you know, working with a man who has been drinking too much, he realized he had a problem when he came to because he had hurt someone he loved.
Mm.
And the person, the way he hurt the one he loved is that they lost hope. That person lost hope that their life could ever be okay because of his drinking problem. And when he witnessed that, that was his bottom. That is what he called the Beth Wee, he called our us, and he said, I need help with this. I don't know what to do, but I can't do this to my wife anymore. She was like the most hopeful person I ever knew, and now she's like broken. I like broke her. It was really a traumatic interaction.
And that's a wonderful story. And the sad side of that is that many people that suffer with those afflictions,
addiction problem,
will go through that experience again and again,
right,
and again, and it's not sufficient for them to have that moment of clarity.
Well, because they have that broken feeling, they don't want to feel it, so they drink or they use their drug or they spend their money or whatever it is that they're doing in excess. They do that again to get numb. They don't want to feel the bad feelings, so they have to get numb. They don't have another modus operandi. They don't know what to do instead.
It's become their default.
Yeah, yeah. So in this case, you know, hope is a principle that helps us when we need to start over. And it can be for the situation I just described, or it can be for moving into a new home, or it can be for you're at the end of this, or you've had the flu for a few weeks and you don't feel up to going to work, but you got to go to work. Hope is a wonderful principle to live by. I always broke it down in, sometimes little acronyms come to me. And the one that I like for this one is hold on, pain ends.
Yeah.
And you can expect positive outcomes. Like you were talking about outcomes. You can expect them, but you can stay in the now when you have hope. Think of it as a verb, expecting with confidence.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, like Len, last week we discussed living with intention.
Right, right. Well, remember the story of the little boy, and there's like a mountain of poop in the yard.
The optimist and the pessimist.
Yeah, and he's digging, and his parents go, what are you doing? He goes, look at all this poop. There's got to be a pony in here somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's the deal. That's what hope is. Hope is looking at a bad situation and saying, wow, this could be the starting point. This is a good place to be because I don't want it to get worse. I have hope that it's going to change now. I want more than this moment.
And again, I always differentiate between hopelessness and helplessness, because hopelessness in my world is a lie.
Yeah.
Because in my belief system, I believe that there is a power greater than me. I believe, I call it God. Call
right.
it what you will. But as long as God exists, my God and my hopelessness cannot coexist. But I can believe that lie, and what it is helplessness. Because I lack the help, I lack the power, and I lack the ability to ask for help.
I think the big one there, Lee, is power.
Yeah,
You know, for this man, that was when he saw the broken wife, and he wanted it to be different, but he does not know how to live one day without taking a drink. He didn't know that. So we hooked him up with some people who do know that.
Yeah.
And he has started over. And it is very hopeful. But the power, what I'm talking about here for the power, there's always the power of God. I'm never minimizing that. Everybody has ever listened to our show knows this. I live by that. But you know what? There's power of your guy next to you who already went through what you're going through. And he has some experience to share with you. The experience of other people that have successfully navigated the same situation you're in. That is power, my friend. That is huge power.
that have shared a common dilemma and found a common solution.
And one of the reasons we don't find hope that easily is because we've become an isolated race. We isolate within ourselves and we see our little problems and we say, nobody will understand. Nobody could ever feel like this. I'd be ashamed to admit to anybody that I broke my wife. I'd be ashamed to have to say that out loud. And yet, this fellow, from what he tells me, found a bunch of people that have done the same thing. And he is living through it and learning from their experience and not having to make all the same mistakes those people made because they say, hey, be careful with that because I didn't do so well with that. Or, oh, you're going to a wedding. You know, bring your own car. Be able to leave if you have to. The things that he told me that they've shared with him, really powerful stuff. Why is it powerful? Because it's helping him change his life. One little thought at a time. Hope. It's a principle for good living, and it's the one we're starting with today. But, you know, Lisa,
let me just add, if I could, real quickly, that ties into hope, is there are four words that were once shared with me that I developed initially a love-hate relationship with.
Most people hate these words.
Because they are accurate. Yeah. And I had to find that out by experience. But we have all heard the saying, this too shall pass. Okay? And the thing is, you know, at that point in my life, I was a right now guy. I don't want to wait. I want it now. Mm-hmm. But I have learned through experience that wherever I am, and folks, I got to tell you, if I'm on top of the mountain or if I'm in the bottom of the valley, it's going to pass. The only thing I can count on is change.
Yeah. I was working with a man years ago. He was from Cuba. He had a little bit of broken English. His name was Ruben. And he was very upset. And he said to me, Beth, the doors in my hall, they all shut.
Oh, the old one, one door
and
closes.
I said, yeah, he goes, all the doors, they're shut. And I said, well, what are you doing with that? He said, Beth, I was thinking about what you said. And I say my prayers. And he goes, I sit down in the hall with all the doors shut. And you know what? And I said, what? He goes, I look up. I got the whole sky. And I was just like, wow, that was deep. I was totally with him in this. I was like sitting in a hall looking up at a blue sky. All the doors in the hall are shut, but I got a whole sky. And that, my friend, is what understanding hope. Now, I was going to say, there's an offshoot of hope. And it might even be, this might be a little bit, but it might even be a foundational stance so that hope can exist. And I think it's another principle for good living. You ready?
I'm ready.
Optimism.
Okay.
You know, is the glass in your life half full or is your glass half empty? I bought my husband a t-shirt. It says, it's not that the glass is half full or half empty. It's that the glass is refillable. Isn't that good?
Absolutely.
And I saw a little post on one of the social medias somebody posted, and it said, if your glass is half full, pour it into a smaller glass and quit whining. I thought that was kind of fun. I was like, yeah, just pour it into a smaller glass. Now it's full.
I actually have a hat that on the front of it has a picture of a glass, and it says half full.
Mm.
But you know, the glass is full if it's half liquid, the other half is filled with air.
Yeah, it's completely full. But, you know, some people listening to us think, you know, I don't expect to be happy and successful. And then I'm not disappointed. You know, when things don't work out, I don't like to feel disappointed.
There's that S word that I hate so.
What is it?
Settling.
Yeah. You know, how does that attitude serve you? That's my question. Lee always asks, are you going to settle? Are you going to settle for what's in front of you instead of reaching for what's just out of reach? You know, you got the dried up orange on the bottom of the tree. Or you got the nice, plump, juicy one, but you're going to have to stand on your tippy toes to get it. You might even have to hit it with the back end of a rake. But are you going to settle for the dried up one and say, I got my orange? Are you going to reach for that big, pretty, gorgeous one that's, you know, when you rip into that skin, it's going to be dripping juice down your chin.
And sometimes these aspirations require me to step out of my comfort zone.
Oh, you know what, Lee? That would be a great next principle.
Okay.
We're getting close to where we're going to take our first break, but let's talk briefly about another principle. Boldness.
Boldness.
You know, we don't think of it as a principle for good living very often, but, you know, let's look at its history. Columbus was bold. When he went on to discover the New World, he was bold. You know, Buddha left his palace. He was really bold. He left the palace. He could have stayed in luxury, and he left. CVS stopped selling cigarettes.
Yeah.
That was a bold move for an American company. Elton John agreed to play at Rush Limbaugh's wedding. Did you know that?
I did, and that's pretty mind-blowing.
That is bold. Being bold is the opposite of being fearful. It is a willingness to get things done despite the risk.
And being true to yourself regardless of outside perceptions.
Yeah, and for the Elton John thing, what do you say? I'm an entertainer. I'm the guy's favorite entertainer, and he can afford me at his wedding? What's holding me back? His political stance, his moral stance on some of the things I live by, that is not even in the equation. He was bold. He was like, yeah, I'm going to be who I am. You get to be who you are. I get to be who I am. And let's boldly go.
Where no man has ever gone before.
No.
But, you know, I have to say that we have friends and, you know, in our society, the power of people getting together. The word came to mind. It's kind of a little bit over general, but boycott. Because there are times where change is necessary.
Yeah.
And the power of people
Standing together. But that's boldness, too.
Yes.
That's boldness, too. Yep. We're talking today about principles for good living. Are you having a good life? Sometimes it's the background. We're talking about the things behind the way you think, behind the way you act. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Stewart in the studio with Lee Kimball. Mr. B's behind the production tower today with his new fancy haircut, knocked about 10 years off his life. And looks like a young guy back
his,
there.
Off his look, not his life.
I don't know.
If a haircut's going to take 10 years off of my life.
He gave us a bell for that. You know, when you're toting around all that hair, it can get tiring.
Oh, my goodness. Great. I wouldn't know.
But it looks great. He looks great. Anyway, so we're talking today about the background in your life. What are the principles behind how you live? And did you know that they may be the cause of a good life? You know, we've talked about some interesting things, hope and optimism and even boldness. What about this one, Lee? I think there's a big one. It's tough to employ sometimes. You ready? Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
To be a forgiving person is difficult when the person or people who harmed you show no remorse. You know, but forgiveness is really for me, and I have to move into forgiveness anyway, whether or not they know they did wrong, whether or not they know they hurt me or someone I love, or my country, or the world in general. Some people don't forgive people who litter. You know, I mean, you go into a restaurant now. I'll be honest. I don't use a plastic straw. I read that little report about all the straws in the bottom of the ocean and all the plastic, and that just the drinking straws we use in the United States of America could fill Yankee Stadium 6 times
Wow.
in one year.
Yeah.
So I don't use the plastic straws anymore. I try to remember to say no straw because it's great that I pull it out of my water and don't drink with it, but I have already used the straw if I did. Are we not live or something? You're looking at our Facebook like...
Yeah, just the live video just got interrupted. So, it's off.
Okay. But, you know, forgiveness, tough to employ when the person or people who harmed you show no remorse. But the benefits for forgiveness are actually physiological. Even your body will be happier if you forgive.
Well, and I'm sure you're going to get to it because we've done whole workshops. We've done whole shows on forgiveness. And as you mentioned, it's for me, it's not for the other person. But there's just a huge misconception of what forgiveness is mm-hmm. and what it's not.
Yeah. I think what it's not, when I teach on what forgiveness is not, it helps people get to a place where they can forgive.
Yep.
So you want me to run through some of those real quick?
Sure.
It's not acceptance. Forgiveness is not accepting that what was done is okay. You know, it's not an excuse. Oh, they didn't mean to. They blah, blah, blah. It's not an excuse. That is not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not always reconciliation. There will be times when you forgive and you make a wise choice not to continue relationship with the injuring party because they are not safe.
May not be healthy.
Well, they may not be able to control themselves, you know, and you don't have to be the whipping post for someone, in other words, but you can still forgive them.
Yeah.
You know, the big one, forgiveness is not a feeling. The feeling might come, but forgiveness is an act of choice. It's a choice.
Yeah.
So those are some things that when you think about it. Why does it get a bad rap? Why does forgiveness get a bad rap?
Well, I think because a lot of people perceive it to be all the things that you just mentioned that it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not letting them off the hook.
Right.
Well, it's me I'm letting off the hook. You know, it's just we joked recently, I forget where you and I were, but that, you know, somebody cut me off in the car 7 days ago. Let me tell you about it.
Yeah.
And, well, you know something? Do you think they're saying, oh, I cut this guy off 7 days ago? They're way past
it. Yeah.
I'm still renting space to it in my head.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's, I have to, a saying I love, let go or be dragged.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to waste energy?
Mm-hmm.
And people wear resentments like a medal also.
You know, sometimes I get a little bit, I'll say unfocused. I'm actually focused on driving, but I'm going through the motions. No, I'm like thinking about stuff or I'm singing along with a song or I'm, you know, but I'm mm-hmm. still driving mm-hmm. a car. So the other day in McCansch Park, I had a little bloop behind me and I was going 43 in a 30.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And he caught me and I pulled over and he said, you were going 40. And I just said, really? I was going 43? And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry. And he didn't know what to do with that. He was like, oh, okay, well, I'm glad you're sorry. But, you know, that night before I went to bed, when I'm running through my day in my head, I do my little review. I mentioned the cop.
Well,
you know, I choose to forgive him. He has to do his job, and he's probably not thinking about my ticket while he's going to bed that night. He probably wrote 15 more that day, you know, after he got me. So, you know, what is it to me to carry that? Now I got to take action. It's a consequence for how I was doing something mindlessly.
Mm.
And do I go to school? Do I pay more in insurance? Whatever I choose. But the deal is this. Do I hold it against the cop or do I hold it against the Vero Beach Police Department for having a unmarked, funny looking, not a cop car looking vehicle? Do I make excuses? No. I live into the next part. I forgive and I move on. You know, I want to warn you, sometimes you choose to forgive before you really looked at the issue. That might not be forgiveness. That might be stuffing or avoidance.
Avoidance, yeah.
So be careful. Get it right. Do the work and then choose. But forgiveness, again, remember, it's a choice. It is not a feeling, but it's a choice. You have to see, I could do this or I could do that. If you're skipping that, you might not be forgiving. You know, we're going to take our little halftime break and...
Well, that was a quick half hour.
Listen to the news bits. We're going to come back and do 5 on 5. 5 points of gratitude at 11:35. So that's a really fun time. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Lee, you got any last thing?
5 on 5. Love it.
We'll be right back. Listen to the news. We'll be right back with you. Thanks.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
We are. Welcome back, folks. Apparently, or we are back. And once again, the 5 on 5 is brought to us by a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair. And over there, you will find Callie Ruiz and Sandra Reynoso, and they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and everyone's favorite extraordinary shampoos. You can find them at 1545 U.S. Highway 1 right here in Vero Beach, Florida, or give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for. And I know what happened.
Let's take two on the 5 on 5 because you missed the whole thing.
We missed the whole thing? That's okay. That's okay. We'll keep going. Yeah, they give the most. Ready? Extraordinary shampoos!
The 5 on 5.
I thought you were going to go with the extraordinary shampoos.
Okay, and that's what messed me up because the audience just sat there.
Okay. Well, you know, the 5 on 5, I am going to play with the idea that Super Bowl is coming.
The Super Bowl
is coming.
Best commercials of the year.
Yep. Good halftime show, too. Okay. Number 5, the blessing or curse of inheriting a favorite team.
It's in my genes. Yeah. I got no choice of it.
I know. And it's great if they make it to the Super Bowl. It's a bummer if they lose.
I've had some great years and I've had some painful years.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Number 4, Super Bowl pools. Are they legal? We don't know. But it's fun to follow the score if your favorite team isn't playing.
BethWee.com has no opinion on this issue.
Number 3, the protocol. Who do you watch with? Or do you isolate and watch alone? There is a Super Bowl protocol in most everyone's mind. Either way, whether you're enjoying company or fully focused alone, we look forward to Super Bowl Day.
You know, it's so funny. One Super Bowl, my daughter and I, my daughter is as an adult, Elizabeth and I happened to be together for the Super Bowl. And there was no question in her mind. I was going to be making chicken wings and I was going to be making nachos. And it never occurred to me, but that was me and my dad's thing every year. And Elizabeth was there for it. And so she goes, well, you're making chicken wings and nachos, right?
That's the number 2, the food of Super Bowl.
Okay. That was kind of my protocol, but
yeah, snack food as a meal, wings, nachos, pizza, or whatever your family's traditional junk food
tradition.
Is. Yeah. Tradition.
Tradition.
And number 1, and we already said it, the commercials, usually some of the funniest and most moving of the year.
Well, and the biggest ticket commercials. I mean, these guys spend a fortune, only for the spot, but in the
production.
And you know, you think over the years, I'm sure everybody can think back to what some of their favorites was. I always loved the Budweiser commercials.
Yeah.
And over the years, we had Ralph and Louie, the little lizards. We had the frogs. The Clydesdales, and I've seen them in person, are amazing. It's some of those, it's...
You know, Emily, my daughter Shay, actually, when she was a little kid, she rode horses.
Ah.
So when she was only... before she could even get up on a horse at Miss Barbara out in Fellsmere, her teacher.
Okay.
Before she could even get on a horse, she had to memorize the parts of a horse.
Really?
Yeah. So 6 years old, she's learning the parts of the horse. So we went over to Tampa and we went to what's it called? Busch Gardens.
Yes.
And so the Clydesdales came out at this one. She had never seen a Clydesdale horse. So she was just like, oh my gosh. So she goes walking up and as she gets probably about 3 feet from the horse. She squats, and the man starts walking directly over to her. She squats down, And she says, what was the word that she used? I hope I don't. Would you look at the, begins with a G. Would you look at the something on this horse? And that's like the thigh muscle.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry. And the man said, and she's this little kid. He goes, what did you say? And she said, oh. And she stood up. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I've never seen whatever this thing. I'm sorry. Those of you listening going, yelling out the word, I can't hear you. I wish I could. Would you look at the, you know, on this horse? And he goes, what did you say? She goes, oh, I've never seen one this big. And he goes, really? And she goes, oh, sir, I'd give anything to see his frog. Because that's underneath the hoof.
Oh, my gosh.
Piece of the, I'd give anything to see his frog.
Oh, my gosh.
And the guy goes, and you shall. And the guy gave me his card. And we got a special little private tour.
Oh, my goodness.
Of where they live. She got to feed them. She got, you know, she's just this little kid, but she loved horses.
How incredible is that?
It was really fun. But that's
but in the words of Forrest Gump, that's not what we came to talk
that's
about.
Not what we came to talk about. We're talking about principles for living that make your life even better. And you know, some of these principles, they're the background of your life, but they come to the forefront in bursts of happiness, because when you live right, you have a good life. And you get moments of happiness.
And you're also, your eyes are open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your eyes are open because I can always find, I mentioned gratitude earlier. If I'm watching for it, I can always find.
So are you like looking over your computer trying to read my notes? Because you keep leading us into the next principle. Because you mentioned awareness. I believe self-awareness is one of the key principles to having a good life, and that's the next one we were going to talk about.
No, I think that's just a symptom of for many years people would joke with Diane and I that you were the other woman, and now that you found Donald, I've become the other man. We've been together a very long time.
But so, you know, how can you really live into full purpose without knowing who you really are?
Yeah.
So self-awareness is a precursor to, you ready? Integrity.
Yep, and it requires looking.
Mm-hmm. And it requires honesty with yourself.
Yeah.
It requires honesty. Disintegrate.
Is dis away
dis
from?
Dis means to move away from, and integrate means to come together. So we disappear when we're not true to ourselves. We actually disintegrate. The real authentic us disintegrates. We become the part of Beth Walsh Stewart will be played by some lady who cares what people think about her.
And, you know, it ties directly to disconnect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So self-awareness. We've given you some interesting ones. Hope, optimism, boldness, forgiveness, self-awareness. I'm going to go on to the next one. You know, life is hard. And when you can recognize that the person you're struggling with may be struggling too, it'll change the way you see people. Compassion. I think being compassionate is a principle for living that changes your view of the whole world.
And if I could add to that, one of the things, one of the gifts I got just in my being, and my daughter got it as well, is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And empathy is, you know, it is a gift, and it's not always comfortable, but you know, just, I guess, kind of trying to see through the other person's shoes.
Mm-hmm. Different than sympathy.
Oh, yeah.
Way different than sympathy, yeah. Well, I want to say, if you go to our website, bethwee.com, and there's a bar that you can pick what you want to go to. There, we have some written and video teachings on the 12 steps. 12 steps are used to help you get back to a right living. And if you went to the video for step 4, you will hear me talking about instincts that are given to us by creation with a purpose so that we will be able to live good lives. And I call them the 3 S's. Everybody has these instincts. It's instinctive. We have an instinct for sex, for security, both financial and emotional, actually, and for physical security, and for society, our place in society, how we belong in the company of our fellows. Now, when you get to understand that those 3 things are hidden in your DNA, and you're looking to get those 3 needs met,
They are in your operating system.
You can't take them out. Yeah. They're part and parcel of being human. You will see what I call drives your train. What drives your train? If you're always looking to have people like you, that's your social instinct. You're not sure you fit with people, so you people please maybe, or you buy them things, or you whatever it is you do, you're working to make sure that that one's always met. Once you see that about yourself, it can change. The self-awareness that we just talked about, you see it and you go, oh, I just want people to like me for me. I don't want them to like me because I buy them because I bake them cookies, or because I.
It can go deeper too, because how many times have there been situations where people have used their other instincts
to try and
fulfill that? You know, if I do this,
I don't want to be alone, so I'm going to have sex with this person.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a horrible way to say it, but those are things that happen. Yeah, you misuse your instincts,
and we're back to my S word of settling.
Well, and you cannot fill one need with another. They're separate.
Yep.
So you can't get your social instinct needs met using your sexual instinctive needs.
Not functionally.
You can't use security to get, you know, we've had things like the whole industry of, well, I won't even go there, but
there are people that attempt it, Beth. There are people, you know, we've had the examples of somebody, you know, working their tush off, and the workaholic that's working 80, 90 hours a week to get money for his family. And he's driven, and
he doesn't have any time with his family.
But then the next thing you know, the family's gone because they were tired of waiting for him to come home.
Right. How about this one? I'm going to go into a different, even like a more bigger. There's a whole industry. The whole sex industry is built, you know, was it Hugh Hefner? Was he the Playboy guy?
He was the Playboy guy,
okay.
Yeah.
He built an industry on the fact that he knew men had a sexual instinct and that it was hard to not look at a beautiful woman. It is in their genes. It's in their DNA kind of thing. He took that and made money off it. And now look at the industry. Now look at what's going on.
And I have to say, caters to both sexes.
It sure does. Now, and I have to also say this, it goes back to way before he could take a picture. This goes back, you know, if you read any ancient texts, that the sex industry was alive and well. People got money using that.
Well, they say that prostitution is the oldest
profession. Probably so.
And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, back in caveman's days, you know, somebody got caught for being a peeping ug.
Well, we've got the peeping ug.
But you're speaking of these instincts, and in that literature that you referenced from the many, many different 12-step programs, you know, it states, as you said, that these instincts are given to them by creation.
To make you happy.
So they're good.
Yeah.
So they're good. But what happens
good.
Is when they exceed or overreach their intended purpose.
Or
underreach. It can go both ways.
Yeah,
then they become liabilities.
You can be a glutton and you can be anorexic. It's the same, not in balance with taking in the food to sustain your body. You can go plus or minus in all of those areas, whether it's sex, security. Security is about money, usually. That's what people think about. If I work all the time for money, or I'm lazy and I never work, it's the same out of balance thing. So once you get to understand that we all have those three needs, it makes you understand people in a whole different way. And compassion comes so much more easily because you get it. You're like, well, I got that too. I always tell the story as far as the thing when my son Luke, he was like 15 months old. We're in a restaurant that had a salad bar.
Yeah. I love this
And
story.
He's sitting in a high chair, and I got beets and beans and peas and all kinds of stuff all over this tray, and he's eating and eating. And this very attractive woman walks into the restaurant, and the hostess is seating her. Luke could not keep his eyes off her.
Well, as I recall the story, she was very gifted upstairs.
He was watching, and he turned his head. He is squirming around in this high chair to watch this woman and to stay with her. It was the funniest thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea it started so young. You know, I had no idea, but there it was right in front of me. So, you know, we're talking about principles that make your life better. That little story was to talk to you about understanding your instincts. But was it fun to have a little laugh at a situation? Because humor is another principle. It's a really important principle. Whether you're laughing at yourself or you're laughing at a joke or you're telling a funny little story, it's key to good living.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Well, I always say the two quickest way to connect with someone who is distant is love or laughter. Usually people that have pulled themselves away, they will not let you love them. The cry for love coupled with the inability to receive it, it's a tough place to live. But I'll tell you what, if I can make you laugh, I'm in. If I can make you laugh, I can get in with the love. Humor. It's a really wonderful principle for good living.
And we were just speaking about balance also. And this too can be out of balance because how many times will people use humor to hide behind it?
Or twist it. Now, if you have a straight line and you skew it so that it's slideways, because some people use sarcasm as humor.
And sarcasm is not humor.
But they're really cutting.
Yeah.
They're really trying to hurt. They're trying to exert power with their words. And I'm sorry, it's not funny.
And frequently people will trying to be, will self-righteously be trying to state their superiority or their own perceived superiority over somebody else. With sarcasm.
With words, you know, trying to make you laugh at the person.
Yeah.
Not at the words.
No. Yeah.
You think, you know, when you're laughing with them, it's different than when you're laughing at them.
If you want to identify, have you ever done something to get your needs met that you're not proud of? Somebody else, other people do too.
Yeah. We all do. And it's always, you're going to go back to one of those three S's.
Or not even not proud of, that just isn't true to who you really are.
Yeah, or it's not somebody, not, you don't want to put it on a billboard.
You're not comfortable with it. Yeah.
You're not going to put it on a billboard and say, oh, and by the way, I also stole a candy bar when I was 7 years old because my friends thought it was cool.
They made me do it.
No, I wanted them to like me, so I did it. That's what we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about principles for good living, and we're getting off on little
tangents.
Side things. Yeah, little tangents. But the basic one is, we want you to think about having a good and happy life. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about a few more good ones. Stay with us.
If you connect with the thoughts and words of Beth Hui Radio Hour, you should click on our website to find ideas that will help you live your best life. At BethHui.com, you'll discover Beth's weekly blog that encourages growth, a format you can fill in to create a prayer of victory to help you through a tough time, and in-depth videos teaching on 12 steps. Even if you aren't battling alcoholism or addiction, Beth speaks to your personal place of brokenness so you can rise above it. All this and more at BethWee.com. Check it out today.
And welcome back, folks. I wanted to take our weekly moment to mention that we will be continuing our monthly series of workshops. The next one is going to be Saturday, February 9th. The topic this time, afraid of intimacy. How can we allow ourselves to be vulnerable so that we can know true intimacy with another? This workshop will address the fears that keep many from living their fullest life, so I hope you don't miss it. Save the date. That's Saturday, February 9th from 10:30 to 12:30, and we will continue to meet in the back room of the Rio Coco Cafe, 3343rd Ave, right here in Vero Beach. I got to tell you, folks, we have settled into that venue, and it has been, we've had some really wonderful workshops, and you know, our last one that people really, I think people got a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. So that's Saturday, February 9th, Afraid of Intimacy. $20 includes all materials and light refreshments, but we do have scholarships in place. You know, pretty much if that's an issue for you, pay what you can. You know, if it's $2, if it's $5, whatever you got.
Yeah, pay what you can to come to the workshops. And know this, Beth Hui, we don't talk about it a lot. We're a 501c3. any you a keep
non-for-profit
a receipt.
Organization.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I just think everybody knows what that means. Yeah. I'm sorry. It is. It's a non-profit organization. If you need a receipt to use for your taxes, just let us know. We'll create one for you. But we need a little bit of cash flow to pay for the venues that we use, to pay for the paperwork, just the little things
venues,
that it is, the
radio show,
the coffees, the radio show, you know, the radio time, things like that. So if you have the ability to donate to Beth, we're always open to it.
And it's tax deductible.
If you need our services and you don't have any money, we're there for you. So don't worry about it. We never would withhold anything from anyone. But maybe you can pay $2 instead of $20. We'll take it. We're going to put it toward a good cup of coffee while you're at the workshop or something else.
Because we have people that get it that are showing their gratitude by supplementing those that
mm-hmm.
can't.
Mm-hmm. We do.
So anyway, hope you can join us.
Yeah. Now, we're talking today about the background of your life, the principles for good living that are behind what you're doing. I have one that I think is really important.
Okay.
Willingness.
Willingness.
You know, are you ready to take action to create the life you desire?
But that's two different things there, Beth.
Yeah.
Because
I want to ask you, how is that going to manifest?
Because there's an old saying that I love, willingness without action is just fantasy.
Yeah. And that's exactly. So willingness, what does that mean? Sometimes when I'm working with someone, I'll say this line, and I want you, if you're listening and you're saying, well, I am willing, but I'm not getting the results. I'm asking you this. Are you willing or do you want to be willing? Wanting to be willing is a step in the right direction.
I have prayed for the willingness to be willing.
Yes, because it is not willingness. Wanting to be willing is not willingness. It's kind of like what I say about the higher power. Knowing about God is not knowing God.
Yeah.
You know, you're settling again. Wanting to be willing, you think you're on the
I know
road.
What I want. I'm just not willing.
I'm on
to
the
do
road
the work.
To happy destiny. Yeah. I want to be willing. No. You got to be willing. You got to be willing to
put your action where your will is.
Yeah. I always make Lee tell the three frog story, but the basic thing is three frogs sitting on a log. One decides to jump off. How many frogs are left? Three, because he decided, but he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He didn't actually take the leap.
Yep.
And taking the leap will change the way you live your life.
And even if it's just a baby step.
Oh, yeah.
Just starting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go to another one. I think that key principles for a happy life, persistence and perseverance. And I lumped them together because sometimes they kind of do go together. Persistence means you keep trying, you keep trying, you keep trying. Perseverance means you hang in over the long haul. The persistence is the doing, doing, doing. The perseverance is the waiting, waiting, waiting. And it's being steadfast and constant. You know, a river can cut through a mountain, not because of its power, but because of its persistence.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. What do you think?
I love it.
You mentioned gratitude earlier.
Gratitude.
We got to mention gratitude, don't we?
Absolutely.
The attitude of gratitude, living with a thankful heart. You know, I got in my car. The other day I was walking the dog and I was talking to God and I was like, you know, I could really use a sign. Could you burn one of these bushes or something for me, dude? I just kind of need a sign. And then I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't need a sign. I know. And just as I was saying, I don't need a sign, there was the coolest feather in my path.
Wow, I love it.
And I was like, I picked it up and it was too icky at the bottom to keep the feather because I often keep feathers. But I was like, you gave me a sign anyway. And I'm really grateful.
I'm thinking of Jeff Foxworthy. Here's your sign.
But that's the deal. Thankfulness, appreciation, not just with your God. Do you do it for your family? Do you do it for the people that serve you at the grocery store? Do you do it for the cashier that takes your money at your breakfast joint?
I like, you know, if I spend more time looking at my gots than looking at my knots.
Yeah.
You know, it's
going to have a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm going to close this thing with the last one is faith. there's a choice. You're going to come up against things in your life. Some people told me that faith is the absence of fear. I totally disagree. Faith is just a different choice. Fear is one of the choices to respond, but faith is a different choice. It's not the opposite. There's other choices along that line. But take the first step, even when you don't see the staircase. Jump, even if the net is invisible. Faith, just one step. Just take one step believing it's possible. Believe that it's possible to have a good life. Got anything on that?
Making me think of the little engine that I think I can.
Well, today's show, we've been talking about principles for good living. We hope you have enjoyed it and that you've found some answers to some of the things you're doing, or maybe you found some desire, like, I wish I were more like that.
If you take the little baby action, you will acquire the experience that change is possible.
Yeah, and it is. Hope is a real thing. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.